Total Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here's your host, Scott Ledger.
All right, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Just sitting down, getting ready for life in the Grim household, the Grim Reaper. How many different names can we get for this guy? Welcome, Cody Grim. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too.
And welcome on in. It's Friday night, Buccaneers Total Access. The 3-1 Buccaneers getting ready to come back to the hallowed halls, if you will, of Raymond James Stadium, get a chance to go 4-1. And, you know, I ran into you in about August. You were just, as a matter of fact, it was the day before you went to go see your dad be inducted in the Hall of Fame, and you got the little dispensation from the head coach to kind of leave training camp. But for those of you that don't know, Cody Grimm's dad is Russ Grimm. He's now a coach with the Cardinals, but, of course, one of the very famous Hogs back in the Redskin days and the guys in the Hall of Fame. Now, he was inducted over and get the big yellow jacket. So, you know, that's the reason I want to talk about that is for those Buck fans who don't know, you grew up in a football household, did you not?
Yeah. Families always have certain jobs they do, stuff like that. You got lawyers and doctors and stuff like that. My family does football.
Yeah, so see, this is how I'm picturing. You know, I'm picturing you about 3 or 4, and there's probably some pictures of you back there where you're just totally dressed in Redskins garb and mom's baking little football cookies, and it just seems like that, you know, and your brother played for Vatek too. So it is a household where, you know, football is such a way of life. Were you able to separate just being a kid, and then would your dad talk to you about football when you wanted to know, or would he just kind of keep talking about it because it was his life too?
Yeah, he wouldn't actually talk about it that much when he got home from football. He was probably he would get home late, you know, and he was probably sick of talking about it. So for real, when my dad would come home from work, we wouldn't talk about football very much. We'd just make me do my schoolwork and then throw the ball around or throw a baseball, but I always liked sports and football, so I didn't mind when he wanted to talk about it.
That's my next question right there. What kind of sports did you play in high school?
I played lacrosse and football.
I love lacrosse.
Yeah, I played basketball my whole life as well. I quit baseball in the sixth grade or seventh grade and decided to start playing lacrosse. It was one of those things. I liked being active and stuff like that, and I would see my friends. A bunch of them started playing lacrosse, and I'd see them running around and stuff, and I'd be just sitting in the bullpen, something like that, and not running around, maybe having a couple balls hit to me a game. So I'm like, I'm going to try lacrosse. And then about 3 years later, when I saw them hanging out in the dugout and me running sprints in high school, I was like, maybe I should have kept with baseball.
Absolutely. It's Cody Grimm, our guest tonight. Get on the phone lines Friday night. Buccaneers getting ready to go actually 4-1 because, you know, last year this is a football team that won 3 games all season long. They've already got it done in the first quarter. Lots of young players making plays, and we'll get to you and becoming a Buccaneer. But let's get those phone lines out there. Buck fans, jump on them. Let's talk some pigskin tonight. 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. So then you, in high school, when did the recruiters start sniffing you out? And you, what did you play? I know you played kind of a tweener in college, but what were you playing in positions in high school?
In high school, I played safety and, like, wide receiver. Lined up a tight end a little bit, but pretty much just a receiver. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we ran like a 4-4 kind of. I mean, I'd line up all over, mostly safety. I'd get in the box a little bit. I played a little middle linebacker.
Kind of like what you're doing now.
Yeah, I played long snapper in high school. I did it all, punted a little bit.
You got good hands? You play wide receiver. See, it's almost a prerequisite now to play DB for the Bucs. You gotta be a ball hawk.
Yeah, I like to think I got good hands, but I don't want to jinx myself.
Well, we'll get to what Akeem talked about, you going into the end zone, and because the other night we had him on, and he was like, well, you know, Cody's got to work on something in the end zone. Has he talked to you about that, by the way?
Yeah. He said something about it to me in meetings. He's like, we're going to have to get a little dance for you. You can't be doing that anymore.
So the college recruiters come around, and what made you guys decide to go to Virginia Tech?
Yeah, it was after my junior year. I mean, I didn't really know much about the recruiting process and stuff like that. My high school, a couple guys been recruited, but I remember I was sitting in a science class, and all of a sudden I get called to the office, and I'm like, oh, wonder what I did. Then I walk in, and UVA was there, Coach Groh, and another coach, and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and then after that, it seemed like every couple of weeks there was a new coach from the schools in the area. But I was never that highly recruited guy. I mean, I got offered recruited walk-ons to like Maryland and all the big schools from up the East Coast in my area, but no scholarship offers besides William & Mary.
You're the Rudy. That's kind of your story. I think the reason a lot of people are really enjoy being a fan of you is because most of us are grinders, man. You know, not everybody's given, you know, the perfect athletic body or the perfect speed or the leaping abilities, but it's the grinders out there who take, you know, they're quick enough. Maybe they're a little undersized. You hear all these phrases all the time. You're not tall enough. You're not fast enough. But it's the guys that find a way to make a team, and not just make a team, but excel on the team. And I know special teams was huge in college. And is that really where you kind of really got, I don't know, confidence, made a name for yourself? You know, because I know you were you were captain of special teams, were you not?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was just captain, I guess, my senior year. But I started playing on special teams, and I started playing well. And that really gave the coaches, like, open their eye up a little bit, like saying maybe this kid can play defense now. And then that's ended up what ultimately got me on the field, probably. Because I mean, I was a redshirt freshman, just doing special teams, and I was happy doing that. I mean, from being a walk on, I was
sure,
like, all right,
sure.
Just won a jersey, you know.
Absolutely.
Just want to dress out. So I started. I actually led the team in tackles on kickoff, and started doing personal protector and other stuff like that. And then as I evolved into a starter my last 2 years. The coaches were like trying to take me off, and I'm like, you know what, I'm all right. I can do it all.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, in the pros, it's almost expected. You know,
exactly.
You know, you're gonna play special teams.
Yeah, and I knew I needed to excel on special teams to give myself a shot at the next level. Like you said, not everyone can be a starter in the NFL, and if you can give yourself more opportunities, get on the field, it'll only help you.
I don't want to get you real complicated in the defensive schemes you played in college, but you were kind of a tweener from what you said. Give us an explanation of some of your responsibilities as opposed to maybe a more traditional role as a defensive player.
Yeah,
when you played in college,
it's actually weird. I figured it out though after coming here. I pretty much played Quincy's position.
Okay.
In our normal personnel, in our base personnel, and then when we run nickel, I was Ronde. So I was like a nickel linebacker kind of thing, strong safety. So that's what I figured out my responsibilities were at Virginia Tech, though.
All right. Well, so you already got a pick, and I think you had 19 tackles in the last two games. I was like, this kid's making. You know, you're shooting your gun. You made a tackle. I don't even know if it was Otu Cinco or Terrell Owens the other day, where you just, you know, I exploded onto the sideline. Textbook, brought him down. Boom, ran back to the huddle like it was no big deal. And it was like, man, great football instincts. We always hear that kind of thing. So let's now go back to the Cleveland game. You're officially a pro. You get a couple special teams tackles. You get your first game under your belt. How did that feel to play your first NFL game?
It was exciting. First off, running out in the tunnel and cheerleaders and all that. It was truly crazy. It was I was almost speechless. Like, I'm like, is this really happening? And it seems like just the other day I was being dropped off at Virginia Tech by my mom, and now all of a sudden, you got fighter jets flying over the stadium and stuff that I've been watching my whole life and dreaming of maybe one day. I mean, I just got the chills when the jets flew over, and I was excited.
Rich Bisaccia's kicks off. You go down there and make your first tackle. A little bit of adrenaline going in your body right around then?
Yeah, maybe a little.
No. Just a little?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Cribs was back there.
Yeah. I think you got him inside
the 15, didn't you? I mean, a hole kind of opened up, and I saw him, and I was like, got to make this tackle, you know, first one, don't want to miss that. And I was able to get a shot on his leg and made the tackle, and it felt good. It was awesome.
You get your first win, too. So, you know, what was it like to walk off that field, starting off on a very young football team, 1-0?
Oh, it felt great. I mean, this team put so much time and effort into it. I mean, I know I haven't been here as long as the other guys, but it just seems like everyone really wants to win and cares so much that it's truly rewarding when you come off the field and get a W. I mean, football is always fun. Losing stinks, obviously. It's going to happen, though. But just to see how hard everyone works and know how bad people want it, it feels that much better to get that win.
When you came to the OTAs and the mini camps and then into August or back here behind the building at One Buck Place, did you start to feel that intensity then, or did you feel it like when the first time you sat down in meetings or after the first game? When did you, you know, like what you just described, the competition, the edge team needs?
I'd say probably started happening mostly during camp, because OTAs is I was just still meeting people and didn't really know people's personality. I was just more trying to get my feet wet rather than thinking about everyone and the team and how we felt. And so I'd say more during camp, when the numbers start dwindling down and you start getting a good idea who's going to make it and stuff like that, and how hard they work and how much time people put into it. I mean, just talking with people, and your body's all beat up. You get out of the cold tub, go watch film, and there's three other people in there already, and you're like, this team wants to win. We could be really successful if you want to win.
It translates to a job. Josh Freeman, a couple of weeks ago on his program, said he didn't like you because he threw some picks in camp in August, and you had too many of them.
Yeah.
It's always nice, you know, when you get a chance to play against a guy with a big arm like that. Let's move forward a little bit. Tanner Jackson suffers some bad decisions off the field, and he has his own issues to deal with. And when did they come to you until you were starting the Pittsburgh game?
They didn't come to me till Monday or Tuesday, our first day, or Wednesday, our first day back here. But I got a call Tuesday, and they said, you know, Tanner's not going to be with us the rest of the season. There's a chance, like, you might be starting, so just be ready to go. And I was like, they just pretty much wanted to give me a heads up to get ready and come to work ready to go.
You know, it's more of an anticipation. You know, it's like football players always say that they don't get nervous on Sunday morning. They're anticipating. And once you get that first play out of the way, you get the cobwebs out of the way. Was that what it's like for you?
Yeah, exactly. Getting your first start, people come up to you and everyone starts texting you, and you're just like, you know, I just want to play football. You kind of get caught up with everyone all worried about what's going on and stuff like that. It's like, you know, I just
could be overwhelming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All of a sudden you get the start and people want to come to the game now and call them for tickets, and you're trying to do all that. I'm just like, I can't wait to just get out there and just relax, really.
As Cody Grimm, he's our guest tonight on Buccaneers Total Access. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. We'll come back and talk about that first start against the Steelers and, of course, the big Cincy game a little later on. We will start to talk about, you know, it doesn't get any easier for you. You heard of that guy, Drew Brees, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't get any easier,
he's
does it?
He's not bad.
He's not bad. That's Cody Grimm coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Ball on the 3-yard line. It's first down, 13 now. And Carson Palmer drops back 5 steps into the end zone. So it's picked off, intercepted, touchdown Tampa Bay. It's Cody Grimm. Cody Grimm makes the pick, and it's a pick six, and the Bucs are a point away from tying. Russ Grimm is going to be the happiest guy in the Hall of Fame right now. His son just gave the Buccaneers a touchdown.
There it is, man. That's your first. You'll never have that again.
No. Hopefully many more.
That was a good feel. First of all, what was the pose? You got to give me, what was that? What was that?
I don't
Heisman,
really know.
What was
I was
that?
Trying to quiet down the crowd a little bit, I think. Okay. I was just, I wasn't used to being in the end zone, obviously. So it was a little tweener, I'd say. But Akib said he's going to get me fixed for next time.
Yeah,
if there is next time.
I'm sure he'll have something choreographed for you.
Exactly.
Absolutely. you know, your coach gets a lot of credit on that play. He dialed up a great disguised defense. You were up near the line of scrimmage, almost looking like you might come off the edge. You were, you know, Carson Palmer's looking right at you at the snap. Describe your responsibilities and then what you did.
Yeah, we were just pretty much disguising like a single high safety, and then we were going to burst out in two. I was pretty much taking over the corner's responsibilities on the play. And so, yeah, Carson saw me in the box thinking we have an 8-man front. And saw Akib playing a little off TO, and he's thinking, you know, we'll pick up an easy six
quick
right here.
Quick 8 yards right
yep,
there,
exactly.
Sure.
And I was able to undercut it. And Coach said, once you figure out, you know, what the receiver's doing, make sure you get your head around and pretty much it just worked out perfectly, just how the coaches said it was going to be. It worked out.
That's really how you did it, too, because you turned your back to the Carson Palmer and sprinted, and then you whipped your head around. So it
exactly.
was like once you knew that flat, where you were comfortable in the flat,
uh-huh.
you turned around. Was the ball already in the air as you turned around?
Yeah, it had just been thrown, and yeah. I was like – I knew I was had a jump on it. I was just like, all right, let's make sure you don't drop this.
Dude,
one,
I was just
going
to say, does time slow down right there?
Oh yeah, it took a while. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the catch seems really easy, but at the time, you're so much is going through your head, you can easily drop that. I was just happy I hung on.
Huge, huge momentum shift, especially on the road. A young team, you know, playing a team that, by the way, was picked to go deep into the playoffs. They won their division last year. You know, they're loaded with superstars at wide receiver. Their quarterback's, you know, an all-pro. And you hush that crowd down real nice. And we'll get back to that Cincy game. But what do you say we start taking some phone calls?
Sounds good.
All right, Kevin, you're in Sarasota. You're on deck. We're coming to you next. Derek, by the way, before we go to Derek, let me give you the open line phone numbers. Hillsborough 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-PUCKS. We have an open line on each one of those. All right, Derek, you're up first, buddy. How you doing?
To tell a story.
Hello.
Hey, Derek. Welcome to the program.
Hey. I just wanted to say that, you know, I watched Cody Grimm get his first interception, and my dad was a big Redskins fan, loved Russ Grimm. Of course, I was a Cowboys fan and still am. And so I wanted to ask Cody how he feels about the big Brian Greasy not living up to Bob Greasy. Chris Sims not living up to Phil Sims.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You know, yeah. The pressure, yeah.
Sure. And I mean, Cody, you know, he got his first interception, and even though he's playing defense, he looks like he's hammering people out there.
Ooh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, even though he's playing the defense instead of the offense, he looks like he's going to do a lot better than the previous ones that I mentioned.
All right, Derek, appreciate your phone call. When you grow up with a famous name, what is that like?
I mean, personally, I thought it was just all pros. I mean, obviously, you're going to live in the shadow kind of a little bit, but it's really cool with me. I don't mind it at all when people are like, oh, you're son of Russ Grimm, or articles come out. I mean, I think it's all a con. I mean, I'm obviously happy with my dad's achievements and proud of him, and I'm just trying to do the best I can for myself. I don't think I'll ever be a Hall of Famer like he was, but I think if I just live up and play the best I can with the potential I was blessed with, that's good enough for me.
You got it. All right. Sarasota's where we're going next. Kevin, you're up on Buccaneers Total Access. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it. Cody, I'm just happy for you and your family. Class of 83 from Virginia Tech, you made us all proud to be an alumni of Virginia Tech this past Sunday. I appreciate it. And my question for you, I'm a Northern Virginian and obviously big fan of the program up there in Virginia Tech. How was it like playing for Coach Beamer, and what do you think of the team this year?
Oh, it was awesome. I love Virginia Tech. Ever since I walked on there, I mean, they treated me as good as anyone else. And obviously the school, I mean, just a small little football town. I love it there. Love the four seasons, miss it, but happy to be in Tampa.
Well, if you love fish, you'll love it here. That's for sure. Fishing, I should say.
Oh yeah, I used to go hit up the New River all the time back at Tech.
Yeah, I tubed down it many times myself and fished Clater Lake at night. I'm not sure if you ever had a chance to do that.
I never made it to Clater, but I did some fishing and floating in the New River. That's for sure.
That's good. Just one more question for you. As far as your expectations for the defense this year, Do you think that we can get more pass rushing attack, and how do you feel about that?
Oh yeah, I mean, obviously the numbers I don't think have been there for them where they want to be number wise, but they've been getting some good pressures. I mean, and those pressures have resulted in us getting interceptions and stuff like that. When they get hands in the quarterback face, it makes it a lot harder, and oftentimes it's pretty much as good as a sack. I mean, they won't lose the yards, but they force incompletions when they do that, and. As far as the defense overall, I think we should just only keep getting better. I mean, we're young. Every game we get out, we still learn a lot. We make mistakes and learn off them. And just as long as we can keep limiting mistakes and not making the same ones, and I think we'll just continue to get better.
you can learn from your mistakes. Let's flash back to the Steeler game. What did you take from that game for you?
I learned I got to learn how to play the deep ball a little better. For tell you the truth, that's the first time I've really been in that situation, kind of. Because in college, I was mostly more down in the box or more covering receivers man to man, like I said. So it was kind of different zone turn. And
Wallace is a sprinter too.
Yeah, he's fast.
That's a guy. That's a fly. That's a guy. If he's even, he's leaving.
Yeah, he came up on me fast. I still was in pretty good shape and should have made the play, but I kind of didn't know exactly which side the ball was going to come down, and I'll get better with time. I mean, I should have probably
right.
started
yeah,
out.
I didn't want to talk just about that. You know, you did have, I think, 12 tackles, and there's Mendenhall you're dragging down. It's not like the job was easy that day. So the overall Pittsburgh, you know, it was your first start. It's again first. You're never going to have that again. So when you walk over to the bench and you're talking to these older players and coaches, was it an overwhelming day? Was it a day that you just took a lot of things from and had to filter out a little bit? Or you know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean it was pretty crazy because my dad coached for the Steelers when I was growing up in high school, so I grew up going to camp, Steelers camp, and watching players like Hines Ward and some of those guys over there, and asking for their autographs when I was in high school and stuff like
them.
That. Yeah, now I'm like, is that just Hines Ward I tackled? So that was
very
pretty
cool.
Crazy.
Very cool. All right, so now let's get back to this game. This football team has found a way to make enough plays. Again, we've made some mistakes. Mike Williams wants that fumble back on the 3-yard line, and Michael Spurlock wants that kickoff return back. But both those guys redeem themselves by making big plays. And later in this game, Cincinnati decides they were running the ball successfully. You guys are playing a pretty deep cover, so they had those underneath holes that they were going to get those 8 and 10 yard runs. Well, Marvin Lewis decides, I'm going to throw the ball on third down. Aqib Talib jumps a route, and I think that was another one of those plays where the corner, Aqib Talib in this case, not improvised, but read something that was going on, and you guys are starting to make plays within the system. Long story short.
Yeah. Coach Lake always talks about making plays when the opportunity comes, and if Aqib would have knocked down that ball, for instance, everyone would have still thought it was a great play. But he had the sense and the skill to actually reach out and get his hands on the ball and rip it from T.O. Stuff like that, I think, is the reason why this defense can't excel.
And Sabby Piscatelli does it again. In between, that's a touchdown, by the way, tied a game. But, with ticks left on the clock, they decide to throw the ball again. Describe what happened on that one, too.
That was just a heck of a throw by Freeman, to tell you the truth. I don't know how far it was, but he put it where only Spurlock could catch it, and it was
sick.
On on a rope, and after that, I was like, I was getting so excited, but I had to try to keep my emotions down in case we didn't make that field goal or something happened. So, I just pretty much sat on the bench. I didn't start yelling or anything like that because I knew. Seen too many games where something bad has happened with that last field goal.
Especially with that one tick left on the clock.
Exactly.
And Stanford playing. Were you on the special teams on their last ditch try there?
Yeah, I was.
Because it looked like mostly hands and speed guys that were out there.
Yeah, I was out there. I was kind of like a contained kind of safety guy. But they started getting closer and started scaring me a little bit.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, one of the guys was being tackled. He just threw it over his shoulder and it went
lateral.
Perfect to his friend. I'm like, oh, no, what's going on here?
Yeah, I saw that. And then finally earned his grandma. And then you could celebrate.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you could celebrate. So then, 2 weeks ago, you get your first loss as a starter. This time around, you get your first start. So what did you take from the Cincy game?
Pretty much the main thing I took is just taking advantage of opportunities. I mean, that was why we won that game, and that's why we lost the Steelers game too. To tell you the truth, we didn't make plays early in the Steelers game that we could have made.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden things kind of got out of hand, and it played in their favor. They could have just ran the ball opposed to Cincy. When we had opportunities, we made the plays and gave ourselves an opportunity to win, and it worked out.
That's Cody Grimm, our guest tonight on Buccaneers Total Access. I'm Scott Ledger, taking your phone calls at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, and 1-800-596-BUCKS. We got Kevin. We got Bill. We're coming to you guys. We're going all the way to Fairbanks, Alaska on this one. Justin, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Nice phone. That sounds like he's next door. How you doing, Justin?
All right, doing good. Hey, Cody, how's it going, man?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing good. Yeah, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, in during the Pittsburgh game, I was like, oh man, you know, got burned, got killed, but then, you know, you restored my faith and with that interception, and so I'm definitely glad you're on the Buccaneers, and you know, glad you're doing pretty good coming in as a seventh rounder and, you know, making a start. And, you know, it was unfortunate that, you know, you had to come into this situation because of, you know, what Tenard had done. But you know what? This is football. You know, you got to make it in whenever
next
you can,
up.
No matter what happens. You know, you're doing a good job, man. You keep it up. And, you know, what's your game plan for the Saints coming up on Sunday? And I'll go ahead and hang up when, you know, to answer the question. You guys take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
All right, bye.
Yeah, I mean, our game plan is to just be on the details of our game. To tell you the truth, Drew Brees can take advantage of the littlest missed opportunity kind of thing. If we get off our landmarks or something like that, we really have to be on the details and be in position, because when you get out of position just by a yard or two, he can take advantage, because he's just so smart out there with the ball and knows where to go with it. So. You pretty much have to be on the details of your game and then tackle well.
That's where the accuracy of this quarterback comes into play, yep, too, as well, because those windows. I want to go to these callers, but remind me to ask you about following the quarterback's eyes, because sometimes it can get you to good places and sometimes it can get you to bad places. But, Kevin, stand by. Bill in St. Pete, you're up next with Cody Grimm. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, good talking to you, Cody. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. Hey, that was a terrific play Sunday. I was watching it, man, and you just sped back there, whipped your head around, made the play, and got in for a touch. That was just terrific. You see guys, they just miss those plays or they drop the ball, and you really made it happen. So,
thank you.
Good for you. Hey, I wanted to get your since you played a lot of special teams and obviously worked hard and are quite good at it, in your opinion, just as an overall, what's the most important thing? I think special teams gets overlooked a lot, even in the pros. What's important to have an effective special teams, a good plan, and to get things done, especially on coverages?
I'd say personnel is a big deal. As long as, knowing their personnel a lot. Coach Bisacci always puts so much time, and he's such a good coach with getting the right people in the right situations to make plays against their personnel. Like, for instance, you don't want to have a guy like me or one of the smaller guys.
Wedgebuster?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so Coach Bisacci really puts us in the good situations to make plays and puts us where we can use our better attributes in our favor.
I think that guy's, I think most people would agree, has got a great future coaching in the NFL.
Yes.
And he's just going to keep going up the tier. But what do you think of him in the first couple of times he started coaching you?
He gets excited out there. I mean, sometimes he can yell at you a little bit, get you a little scared. When I was young, I'm used to it now, though. Been on enough special teams where I understand what he's trying to get done and the point he's trying to get across when he does yell at you, though. So, the bottom line is he's a great coach, and he's trying to get you better. And if that's pretty much all that matters.
He's a motivator. He's definitely a motivator. All right, we're going to go to Kevin. You're up next. By the way, open lines, Hillsborough and Pinellas. Jump on him right now. Kevin, you're up next with Cody Grimm.
Hey, great job so far, Cody. Welcome to Tampa Bay, first of all. As a kid in D.C. up there, how, if any, was Darryl Green an impact on you as a and in which position you're playing now?
He was actually a pretty big impact. His son actually ended up playing at my high school as well, and they were always in the area. So I mean, my mom knew the Greens because he played with my dad for a couple years, mm-hmm. and then they were in the area. His son ended up coming to my high school, so I'd actually run into Darryl a good bit, and obviously everyone in D.C. loves him. And his highlights are always on, so I'd say he's a pretty big impact. Just more the type of person he is and the type of player. I mean, you can't really have that big of an impact on me as a player, because I mean that guy's abilities are through the roof. I mean, I don't know how whatever he runs, and he's just the fastest guy in the NFL to like 30 some. So I'd say more of the way he carried himself and the stuff he did for the community and just how he treated people. Really look up to him.
He looked like he was always enjoying himself out there when he was playing football, too. Another one of those guys that kind of just had that big smile on his face. Joey Galloway is another guy that somehow transcended age and was able to keep that lightning-fast speed like Daryl Green was. So, and Rondé, we have our own Daryl Green here.
Yeah, exactly.
We have our own Daryl Green, and Rondé references him a lot as an inspiration as to why he continues to play and wants to excel is because of, you know, the people that come before you, if you will, mm-hmm. and you're always going to have that. All right, JD, stand by. Chris, stand by. We're coming to both of you. Dan in Spring Hill, you're up next with Cody Grimm. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, Cody. How's it going, bud?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Awesome, man. Just like everybody else, loved that interception last Sunday, bro. You have no idea. Me and my son were doing the high five and the biggest dance and party and all everything that you can do with an interception.
That's awesome.
You made my day.
Probably anyway, did a better dance than
week,
me.
My week, brother. But I will say this, man. I just want to say, it seems like you guys are all very fired up. Coach Raheem Morris must be doing something excellent with you, man, because you all seem to really come together and you never give up, no matter what the odds are going against you, and took advantage of every opportunity, as you said, and you just kind of really fought your way through that game and came out very victorious. And I'll hang up and listen to your comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
He's asking you about your relationship with the head coach. Great guy, ain't he?
Oh yeah, he's an awesome guy, and he just you see how hard he works and how much he loves the game. It really inspires you and wants you to play well for him, and the team feeds off that. To tell you the truth, We stuck together. I mean, obviously everything didn't go right for us in that Cincy game at all, but no one panicked. Everybody stayed calm. No one yelled at each other, and we just kept grinding, and things worked out.
Let me ask you about, because we always see the smile on the head coach. We've seen a little bit of that fury, for instance, when Free took that cheap shot. We've seen an animated Raheem Morris, but behind the scenes, he's perfectly willing to dress you down, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Because some coaches do it on the sidelines and in public, but, you know, you haven't really seen Raheem Morris chew out a player. But it make no mistake, it does happen.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, he knows when he has to let you hear a little bit, and then he knows when he needs to just talk to you and let you know what you did wrong. And that's one of the best things about him. He's really a player's coach, and you want to be successful for him.
5'11", 210, you play in safety. And you seemed to, really have these great instincts, tackling instincts. Go back to a couple of coaches that really taught you how to tackle, because everything we've seen so far, it's been textbook. It's been real good tackling.
Yeah, I was always really a good tackler. I mean, I think it's just from starting at such an early age. I mean, I'm not exactly sure. I think I started at 7. So I think just growing up and just playing football my whole life and starting at such a young age really helped me tackle. And then also at Virginia Tech, Coach Cav and I had a coach that really made you tackle every day. I mean, he didn't take days off. He was one of those old school coaches, and pretty much there's no gray area. You're tackling every day, and you're hitting hard, and
it
doesn't matter exactly. So I think that helped a lot as well.
All right, you want to talk to Cody Grimm? We got an open line in Hillsboro, 813-990-4620 or 727-461-4620. Chris in Clearwater, you're up next. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man? It's a pleasure. Thanks for taking my call. Cody, living down here in Florida, it feels good to be able to say go Hokies, man. I'm a transplant from Virginia and had the pleasure of watching you fly around that field and make all kinds of plays on Saturday. And it's a real pleasure watching you do it down here for our Buccaneers now, man.
Oh, thank you.
Man, keep up the good work and keep doing your thing, man. A lot of my friends, when you got drafted, said, who's this guy? And I told them, just watch. If he gets on the field, you'll see him. He's got more heart than I've just about seen anybody else play the game. So keep it up, man, and keep doing your thing. And go Hokies and go Bucks.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Transcends, man. Fans are everywhere. You do know that, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure. As you get to be a little bit more of a household name for Buccaneers fans around this area, and you get a little bit, someone will see you in a supermarket. But down here, you grew up in an area where football was still big, but did you realize how big Florida was and how much football means in this state? And It's almost a second religion down here.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really start noticing till I got down here. I mean, obviously I thought football was pretty big, but just driving around the community and stuff, everyone has a Florida State, Tampa Bay, some sort of flag hanging on their doorstep. And then when you go out and stuff, I remember I went out one Saturday to go get food, and it was just packed with Florida people watching the games at the bar, stuff like that. And that's awesome. That inspires you to do well even more, knowing how much people care.
Absolutely. We're going back to the phones. It's this time around. It's JD. Welcome to the program, JD.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing good. Appreciate the call. What's up on your Friday night?
Hey, first of all, I want to say congratulations to Cody and everybody on the team. I mean, I was pretty optimistic to expect that we'd have a good run out of those first couple of games. But, I mean, very pleasantly surprised to be sitting here at 3-1. And congratulations, first of all. I have two questions for Cody. One about his interception the other day, but I ran into Josh. I got to say hi to him, and I saw Rondé at the Rays game on Tuesday. I was wondering if that was something. Was everybody there? Did you guys have like a suite, or maybe you weren't invited and I shouldn't have said something?
Whoops.
Nah, a bunch of the guys just obviously support the Rays and support the teams down here, and that's pretty much what it was. And Freeman actually did invite me to the game, but I was busy doing some other stuff. I haven't been down here long, so I'm trying to get my place set up a little bit and couldn't make it.
That's cool. Also, I wanted to ask you about your interception. It seemed as soon as you caught the ball, obviously everyone was very excited, and it almost looked like, though, when you caught it, that you were kind of heading straight for out of bounds. I don't know if it was the angle or maybe it was your instinct that you just weren't comfortable carrying the ball. Could you talk a little bit about that and your instinct as when you knew that you had a shot at the end zone?
Yeah, when he threw the ball, I figured I was going to get in. I don't know how close to the sideline I got, but I felt pretty comfortable that I had some room over there. But I think I was just making sure that I had the ball for sure before I turned all the way upfield, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I don't want no Leon Letts.
Exactly.
We don't want any Leon Letts on this team. Make sure you get past the goal line before you spike it, dance with it. I don't care what you do with it, but make sure it's a touchdown first. All right, we got some open lines, and we'll come back and take more of your calls. Got to hit a break. 813-990-4620 from Hillsboro. Pinellas, it's 727-461-4620 and 1-800-596-BUCKS. When we come back, we will talk about those New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees and the bevy of wide receivers and talent. Now, they're a little light at running back, but we still got our hands, I don't want to say tied, but our hands full when it comes to New Orleans Saints. They can put some points on the board, and we'll come back to talk to Cody Grimm about them and, of course, your phone calls right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
All right, guys, welcome back. Friday night, Buccaneers Total Access. Don't forget your pregame will happen at 10:30 on the AM side. Network at noon, 1 o'clock kickoff from Raymond James Stadium. Still some tickets, by the way. You can go to Buccaneers.com, pick out a seat, or you can walk on up to the stadium on Sunday morning. Great way to enjoy this awesome, awesome weather. Brooks, you're on standby. We're coming to you next. We're going to Jeff in Tampa. You're up with Cody Grimm. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Cody, first, I just want to congratulate you on that tight, hard-fought win last week. That was pretty awesome, and, you know, you contributed pretty nicely there. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. The first one was, you know, as far as with regard to Raheem, he's taken a lot of flack, and a lot of people are, you know, not really sure what kind of coach he's going to be. And he seems like a really good players coach. He seems like he's really into everything, and he's all over the details, and I was just wondering how you feel about playing for a guy like Raheem, and does it give you a little extra drive to want to try to win for him? And the other question is, New Orleans is, they seem like they're ripe for the pickings this week. Their running game's a little weak, and it just seems like maybe you guys can really step up and do something nice this week.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, why don't you pick up with that? Well, you know, you talked a little bit about your head coach, so why don't we combine that? Tell us how Ra's getting you ready for the Saints. Because he is your D coordinator as well.
Yeah. I mean, Coach Morris always puts together a good game plan for us. He studies a ton and really puts us in good situations as players to make plays. And that's all you can ask for. I mean, for example, my interception, I mean, I get a, like, everyone says great play and stuff like that. To tell you the truth, Coach Morris just had a great play call, and all I had to do was catch it. And so that's awesome. And as far as wanting to win for him, I mean, he's put so much time and effort. He's really a player's coach and just such a great guy that obviously you want to be successful, so you want to play well. And then as far as the Saints, we just got to be on the details of our game, and that's pretty much what we've been preaching. They do a lot of stuff. Drew Brees is really accurate. If you're just off your man by a yard or something, he can fit it in those windows that most QBs wouldn't even attempt. So,
they're the type of football teams. No team wants to throw the ball 50 times, but they're the type of team that can do it and win doing it.
Exactly. I mean, they got weapons all around the field, a receiver and running back and just a good O-line, and they're well coached, and it's a division game, so you know they're going to be ready to play.
Not that you're going to give away any secrets here, but you guys did – I saw you and Rondé on some blitzes last week, so I'm sure there's going to be different pressure packages. You know, Drew Brees is a guy we want to knock down and rush and hurry and get tip balls and everything else, because we definitely don't want him sitting back there. And then, of course, we've seen you in deep coverage too. So you were all over the field last week. You were up near the line of scrimmage, and there were times when you were respecting wide receivers. So is it just because they're banged up at running back that, you know, it's almost like it's an afterthought, but you still got to stop the run first?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how all football games are. You're not going to beat a team unless you make them pass. And then when you make them pass, you can start getting in zones that help you and stuff like that. When they can run the ball, you don't know whether you can load the box or expect pass or stuff. It's a lot harder. So if you can make them one-dimensional either way, it helps a lot.
You got it. We're going back to the phones in St. Pete this time around. It's Brooks. Brooks, appreciate the call. Welcome to your show on a Friday night, Brooks.
What's going on, guys? How you doing, Cody?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. A couple comments and then a question. When Jackson obviously messed up and then I heard they were putting you in, I've lived in this area, born and raised, and been going to Bucks games since the 80s. And, you know, got my season tickets in the 90s. The first thing I did is go to YouTube to try and see who you are, see some highlights.
Yeah, highlights.
And I'll tell you what, man, the first highlight that popped up, I don't know, I don't remember who you were playing, but you came from the right side of the line, and they threw a sweep to their right. And I'm telling you, man, you chased this guy 40 yards down the field and stripped a fumble. And I was like, holy cow. I mean, I was like, all right, but I didn't see much else, but, you know, I was keeping an open mind. Steelers came, you know, whatever. Things happen. You live, you learn. You know, obviously, I hope that was a good thing, you know, for you to learn from, and, you know, but I can – my main question for you is from that Steelers game and then the bye week and then, you know, the game we just played against the Bengals, which you had a great game, what did you do, you know, for yourself – to kind of, you know, change? And to, I mean, was it mostly film? Is it technique?
Yeah, I'd say mostly technique. To tell you the truth, in the Steelers game, you come out and you think you're like I thought I was. I don't really get that nervous before games, feel comfortable, but I was doing little things differently than when I was doing in practice, just making sure I'm in the right spot, and that hurt me a little bit because it helps a quarterback. Like, I was getting down in the box, say, early and stuff like that, and just giving away disguises that hurt me a little bit, opposed to the last game out against the Bengals. I put myself in a lot better situations, disguising stuff and then changing where I was at and stuff like that. So it helps you to give yourself a better opportunity to make plays.
I asked you that, as a matter of fact, last week. We ran that in the pregame show, and you had said you were, you know, giving away your tell signs a little too soon, like maybe going into a back pedal just a second too soon, or the opposite, running towards the line of scrimmage a little too soon. Is that getting used to quarterbacks' cadences, or is that like timing blitzes? Because sometimes blitzes look incredibly timed, and other times they look like you just decide to blitz at the last minute.
Yeah.
You're really disguising it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Getting used to being out there and quarterback cadences, and then also the first game I was just so
geeked.
I was like, all right, I gotta be 6 yards from the line and see a gap when this ball snapped the post. to just going out there and playing like I did in practice. And I think the Cincy game, I felt a lot more comfortable out there, and it helped. And I think hopefully I can only get better from there.
Yeah, that's the fine line between being comfortable in the scheme and letting your natural instincts take over and then thinking too much. So you,
exactly.
You think you were thinking a little bit too much in the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Cincy game, you know, obviously the you get in, you pull out a game, you make a play, you know. I think every time you do something successful in your career, it gives you more confidence, that type of thing, and you're kind of building momentum going up against a guy who can shred any defense from the quarterback position. But it's a, you know, I asked Aqib and I also asked Gerald McCoy. It seems like it seemed to me the Cleveland game was the first statement game. You really wanted to start off the season with him. This is another statement game for you guys. A division, you got a chance to knock the Saints two behind you. This is a big game for you guys.
Oh, yeah, this is obviously a huge game. I mean, anytime the defending Super Bowl champs come to town, not only that, they're in our division. So it's a huge game, but we practice hard all week, and I think we're ready to go. I think Coach Morris has a great game plan, and I think we can be successful.
Well, I'm not going to ask you about the rookie wall yet because we'll get to that next time you're on the show about the 10th or 11th week
yep.
and stuff. But so far, this is two games now. Because if you had played all four, I'd say, how's your body doing? But now you have an idea of the hitting level in the NFL. You know, these are much bigger boys running slightly faster than college. It's almost like every collision's violent in college. Some of them are. So what's your take on the physicality of the NFL the first couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's pretty physical, I'd say. One of the big differences is you can tell how fast they move, and like the running backs and the O-linemen. I mean, there's some big boys that can run. Like when the guards pull and stuff like that and they're coming to get me, I'm like, oh, my God, I got to get out of this guy's way somehow. So I'd say that's a huge difference. The way the linemen can run are seriously unreal for how big they are. Then, I'd say everyone's just bigger and faster. I mean, when you see a guy like T.O. standing out there, you're like, I mean, this guy's like 6'3 and a half, shredded up, and can run like a deer.
142 touchdowns coming into the game.
Exactly.
You know, that's your moment, though. That's your what I call the Braveheart moment, man, where you step up and, you know, you start making a name for yourself. So, real quick, let's talk about the guys that you get a chance to study film with, the guys, you know, Aqib Talib and Rondé Barber and Savvy Piscatelli and Albert Mack and of course, Jimmy Lake, your coach. What's that group of guys like? And you got, it seems like they just, you know, welcomed you right in with open arms.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're everyone's so nice here. I mean, Coach Lake is a great coach, and then we got Coach Stukes, who is also a really cool guy, and I think that helps us. I mean, we enjoy going in there and watching film. It's not like a slap on the wrist or something everyone hates. It's kind of like we go in there and we get our work done and hang out. And guys like Rondé and Keeb that have played a couple years and smart guys can give you a little insight as well. And then I mean, we enjoy it and we're having fun in there, and we're 3-1s and doing pretty good at the defensive back position, so it's exciting.
And before we go to break, one of the TV announcer when they showed the instant replay of you running into the end zone. Of course, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. By the way, everybody going to the stadium will receive a Publix Buccaneers jersey and a breast cancer awareness wristband that you can wear. But you made your first pick with pink gloves on, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, the question is, where are those gloves and where are they going to end up and where's that football?
The football and the gloves are at my place right now. And I'm not exactly sure. I'll probably hang on to the football. Not exactly sure what I'm going to do with the gloves yet.
You know, they were arguing over, you know, because I think it was Brian Billick who was doing the game, who was doing the color commentary, was like, you know, he's going to show a picture of his first interception to his kids in 20 years, and I go, Dad, are you wearing pink gloves? You know, you don't want to spend the entire day thinking about one pick. So as much as you shake off a bad play, To us, we're excited about that first pick for you, but it almost seems like, other than doing this radio show, you've already moved past that.
Yeah, I mean, to tell you the truth, after it happened during the game, you got to move past it. If you start thinking about stuff, that's just going to hurt you. Bad play, good play, stuff like that, you got to concentrate on the next play and put yourself in a good situation to be successful on that play. If you start thinking about, like, oh, I want to get another pick and trying to jump stuff, that's when you'll get beat. Or if you think, like, I don't want to get beat, you know, I'm staying deep on that, and you're not going to be successful. So pretty much you got to put it past you and just move on to the next play and not try rushing anything, having stuff come to you.
But I'm sure you had plenty of text messages. Dad, brother, coaches.
Yeah.
Quite a few texts.
Yeah, a few.
Got it. Cody Grimm's coming back. We'll wrap up the show in a couple of minutes. Don't forget our pregame, 10:30 in the morning on the AM side. Network at noon, 1 o'clock kickoff. Bucks trying to get to 4-1 against the Saints. We'll come back and wrap up this week's edition of Buccaneers Total Access on your Friday night right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back. About 2.5 minutes, Buccaneers Total Access on a Friday night. Don't forget our regular schedule, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We rotate different players in and out. And, of course, every Tuesday, Gerald McCoy. Every Thursday, Josh Freeman. What's it like for you to stand on the sidelines and watch Free just like that big out he threw, you know, it's franchise quarterback. We got one.
Yeah. We got one. He's playing great ball right now. Just, I knew during OTAs, he was a little different than the Tech quarterbacks. I mean, that guy has a cannon in his arm, and it's awesome watching him throw some balls.
Yeah, unless you're covering him in practice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes, I mean, pretty much you can throw that thing the length of the field, so it's tough to cover.
All right, we only got a couple of seconds left. We got a lot of fans that are going to be heading into that stadium on Sunday, and I always like to ask the players as they're getting ready to dress up and play in front of the home crowd, if you had a message or just a couple of things you wanted to say to Buck fans right now about you and your football team, what would you tell a Buck fan right now?
I'd tell them we're hungry. We're on the verge of being a good team. And, I mean, we're young right now, and we're learning so much still. And we managed to get the 3-1. We could have a good team this year, so I'm excited.
And how about you personally? Is the world moving real fast for you? I mean, you know, in April you're drafted, your OTAs, mini camps, you walk up, you're starting, and now you're getting ready to start your third football game. How's it been for you?
Things been going fast. Since I graduated from Virginia Tech, it's like you start training for the combine, then you got to go out to Indy, and then all of a sudden you pick somewhere, and OTAs, mini camp, and all of a sudden, it seems like I seriously blink my eyes. It seems like the other day I was just finishing up at Tech, and here I am.
Let's hope you get a free run on the quarterback and another pick, huh?
That'd be nice.
Good show, bro.
Thank you. Appreciate you
coming by. Appreciate everybody who called. And everybody, don't forget, pregame 10:30, network at noon, 1 o'clock kickoff as the Bucs take on the Saints right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Have a great night.
Listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.